Craig said that there are more right-wing sites than left-wing ones, but they're certainly out there. And for some liberals fearing a Trump presidency gone completely rogue, the focus has narrowed to a single obsession, the Russia affair. It's a story of intrigue and shifting alliances, lofted by slippery facts from anonymous intelligence sources. And that's sent some eager news consumers to some less than reliable places as they try to piece together the plot.
Sources with links to the intelligence community say it is believed that Carter Page went to Moscow in early July, carrying with him a pre-recorded tape of Donald Trump offering to change American policy if he were to be elected, to make it more favorable to Putin.
That's Keith Olbermann quoting Louise Mensch, former conservative British parliamentarian, current anti-Trump, anti-Russia Twitter conspiracy theorist.
You've also claimed that President Putin had Andrew Breitbart murdered to pave the way for Steve Bannon.
No, first of all, I haven't. And no matter how many times people say this, it's not going to be true. I said on Twitter in a tweet, I believe that to be the case about the murder of Andrew Breitbart.
Well, that's what I just said.
Charlatan, opportunist, or true believer, we don't know what's driving Mensch to tell her tales, and she didn't respond to our invitations to come onto the show. But it's clear that her brand of journalism adds a new layer of unreality to an already confounding information landscape. Zach Beecham is a senior reporter for Vox who recently wrote about how Democrats are falling for fake news about Russia. Zach, welcome to On the Media.
Oh, I'm so happy to be on.
Okay, so a blog called Patrobotics.com reported that a sealed indictment had been granted against Donald Trump, and that the indictment is intended by the FBI and Justice Department to form the basis of Mr. Trump's impeachment. That's an explosive scoop, if true.
Yeah. Patrobotics is the blog of a former British parliamentarian from the Conservative Party and also romance novelist, Louise Mensch. She was a right-wing commentator, but since the Trump-Russia scandal began, Mensch has refashioned herself into a sort of citizen journalist, telling the truth about Trump and Russia when the mainstream media won't. The problem is that it doesn't seem like anything she's saying is true.
But she did have one true story, and that could potentially lend legitimacy to many of her stories.
That's right. She reported that the FBI had a warrant for communications between a Russian bank and the Trump Organization. She was right that there was a warrant, which most people weren't reporting. And she has made some allies in her sort of more conspiratorial quest. John Schindler, a former NSA agent and professor at the Naval War College who got caught up in a sex scandal when he was there and resigned. And you have Claude Taylor, who said he had some unspecified position in the Bill Clinton administration and now is a D.C. area photographer.
And so you've got the three of them, Louise Mensch, Claude Taylor, John Schindler. They're the driving force behind what you call the Russosphere.
That's right. The Russosphere formed entirely on Twitter. These three people communicating with each other and hundreds and thousands of fans. Mensch has nearly 300,000 Twitter followers, Schindler not that many fewer, and Taylor close to 170,000. And the three of them are constantly talking about these conspiracy theories, notions like Russia funded the protests in Ferguson, or that Paul Ryan, Trump, and Mike Pence are all going to go down and you're going to get President Orrin Hatch. Those are actual things I've seen people in the sphere say, things they couldn't possibly know and don't seem to be backed up by any real evidence.
And you suggest that the Russia sphere doesn't have one unified, worked-out theory. It seems to be more of a frame in which any number of things can fit?
Yeah, it's a way of approaching the world where you assume that whatever is going on is best explained by Russia manipulating it behind the scenes. Or whatever is happening with Trump, it's because of his collusion with Russia. Or whatever's happening with the FBI investigation, it's always about to get more intense and more aggressive.
In your piece, you mention many stories that seem to fit into this Russia frame, even Anthony Weiner.
That's right. Weiner pled guilty to charges of sexting with a minor. So Mensch published a story saying there was no 15-year-old girl, that this was part of a hacking group called Crackers with Attitude working with the Russians to ensnare Anthony Weiner so then the emails could be exposed, which would then embarrass Hillary and torpedo her campaign.
While the three people you write about are all anti-Trumpers, they're not all liberal. So is this based on ideology, or is it based on hating Trump?
For Mensch, Schindler, Taylor, those people, there's sort of an ideology, right? They are unified in their sense that Russia is out to get the United States and that Trump is their pawn, if not their willing accomplice. But the people who like them don't have these kinds of worked out ideological ideas. They just really hate Trump. And these ideas about Russia provide them with a sense of certainty about the president that they crave.
Why do you think liberals are so receptive to this brand of fake news?
It's really interesting. During the Obama years, you saw a lot of conspiracy theories on the right flourish, birtherism being the best known example, but also conspiracies that Obama was rigging economic data, right? And you saw this spread everywhere among conservatives. Now, part of that was that the conservative media was quite happy to amplify a lot of these ideas. You saw them on Fox News and on Breitbart, The Daily Caller, other things with low journalistic standards. But it was also because when people are out of power, they are inclined to blame problems in the world on the people in power. One expert I spoke to on political misinformation said that conspiracy theories were a weapon of the weak. They were a way to understand and make sense out of the world when it doesn't seem to make sense to you or seems hostile to you.
You offered a fascinating study by a researcher at Yale named Dan Kahan about a math problem. Would you describe that?
So they gave him a kind of tricky math problem. It was a word problem. And some people got questions phrased in terms of the success of a skincare product at actually clearing up your skin. Other people got the question phrased in terms of the success of gun control legislation, whether or not it actually reduced crime and violence. For the people who got the skincare question, Democrats and Republicans were equally likely to get it right and wrong. But when you gave it in terms of a politically loaded issue like gun control, people were much more likely to get the answer that their partisan interests told them they should get. So even though Democrats and Republicans seem to have the same math abilities, their partisanship overrode their ability to do basic mathematical reasoning.
It's just remarkable. You referenced the one bright spot in your analysis. You note that the absence of a Breitbart of the left has made it harder for these theories to gain traction. They can't keep it in front of people, at least on cable news, but do they even really need cable news?
I think they do if they want to get bigger. Twitter is an inherently limited platform because following it and making sense of it requires a lot of attention. So they try these blogs, which actually do quite well. One Mensch story was shared 50,000 times on Facebook. But even that is only going to get you access to a limited audience without the full weight of a large organization behind you. They don't have that right now. Instead, they need mainstream media validators or other validators who are in good standing with a liberal audience. So that could be cable news. It could be newspapers. It could be websites that liberals like to read. It could be celebrities even that are well regarded in the liberal community.
They've gotten some notable people to back them up.
That's right. The New York Times reached out to Mensch for an op-ed, and then former DNC chairwoman Donna Brazile tweeted out the story and then thanked Mensch for good journalism. There's another current DNC official that retweeted one of her tweets as if it was a legitimate scoop, but they're relatively isolated incidents. It's more right now that it is accidentally seeping into the mainstream. This stuff, though, you need to inoculate against it to prevent it from becoming part of an established media culture.
Okay, so how do you do that? What is the role that the media can play in reining in this misinformation?
The Democrats, as an institution, can do a lot by denouncing these people or just ignoring them. The media should cast light on these people. They should say they don't appear to have any evidence validating their beliefs. Especially media that's trusted by liberal audiences, they kind of have an obligation to take a look at the more unsavory parts of the liberal media sphere that are starting to grow up in the Trump era.
You wrote that all this could discredit the real Russia investigation, which I can totally see. You also wrote that it risks polluting and degrading the Democratic Party. And you said that's what happened to the Republicans, which resulted in the election of Trump. Explain, though, how it pollutes the party.
One of the professors I spoke to for this piece said one of the greatest failures of the Republican Party was not pushing back more against the conspiracy theories like birtherism that eventually took over the party. When lots of voters start to believe this stuff, elected officials can campaign on it. And you get people like Michelle Bachmann, like Louis Gohmert, and Rep. Steve King, all Republicans, who expound beliefs that you see first in the fever swamps of the Republican media sphere. Ideas that are utterly unfounded and dangerous if they were acted on end up becoming actual political priorities for the party because elected officials either believe them or have to answer to people who do. If the Russia sphere ideas become mainstream, you would have a Democratic Party where people went after the president on flimsy pretexts that embraced ideas that had no founding in empirical reality and could have unknown consequences if implemented. And the legitimate aspirations of the Democratic Party, the things that it wants to actually do, would fall by the wayside. The degradation of the Republican Party shows that this really can affect the way that a party operates. Now, Democrats don't have this problem right now, but it could happen.
Zach, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Zach Beauchamp is a senior reporter for Vox.
People have been misled, and I've been afraid. I've been hit in the head and left for dead. I've been abused.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Mira Sharma, Alana Casanova-Burgess, Jesse Brenneman, Michael Loewinger, and Leia Feder. We had more help from Jane Vaughn, and our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Terrence Bernardo.
Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
I want you to stop. Find out what's wrong.
On the Media is supported by the Ford Foundation and the listeners of WNYC Radio.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.